Today on Seculo, it's Election Eve. Is a last-ditch effort to trash conservatives backfiring?
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, one day until Election Day. And of course, for many of you, and it looks like half the country, we believe, has actually already voted. So this would be very significant because that means that a lot of Republicans had already voted, a lot of people who voted for President Trump. And usually we don't see that kind of number because Election Day, usually the Republicans, by a large margin, get a lot more voters out than Democrats. So it's going to be interesting to see how that early voting, again, it's all assumptions based off voter registration and areas that you may vote in. Some states do track, was it a Republican or Democrat, if your state has, like, if you've got to sign up with a party. And that's, again, so it's state to state. I would say this is the state of the race right now. If you're a Trump supporter, President Trump can win. But if you're a Harris supporter, she can too. So it's all about turning out the vote tomorrow. And you're starting to see, I think the left realized over these last couple weeks, as the rhetoric got nastier and nastier, that they have got, they start throwing everything at the wall. You know, I mean, you know, the garbage. And now we have the New York governor saying that you were actually anti-American and anti-woman. But I mean, let's just go to the anti-American part first, because that's even worse than we've seen. And we've heard him see anti-woman before. That's because of abortion. And she's saying if you vote for any Republicans in New York's congressional races, which happen to be some of the most moderate Republicans, but important Republicans to get to a majority to make sure that if President Trump does win, that there is a House majority, it would take wins. And I don't think the governor in New York would be coming out this strong with that kind of language, telling basically still very close to half her state. I mean, you remember, even in these blue states, you're talking about maybe it's 65, you know, not even 65, 35, 55, 45, 60, 40. So still a huge chunk of your state you're calling anti-American because of who they may vote for, trying to influence a vote as if, one, you'll know who they voted for, and then somehow they'll be run out. Which, by the way, so many people are leaving places like this because of language that comes out. I don't see Republicans saying things like, if you vote, like Republican governors saying, for anybody out there who votes for a Democrat, they're not American people. First of all, they would be raked over the coals, probably by other Republicans first and conservatives, to say, that's not how we win or lose elections. That's just nastiness. I mean, that's, but at the same time, Will, I think when you see this coming out of New York, of all places, they are looking at numbers that are not good.
That's right. And if you take her words now and couple them with the fact she called Trump supporters clowns earlier in the year, we had a lot of fun with that. Logan likes to send in the clowns in the chat.
Yeah, if you're around, you know what to do.
But I think we should play and hear the words from Governor Hochul, who's saying this just days before the presidential election, bite one.
It gave me a chance to tie the Republicans running these seats, the incumbents, closer to Donald Trump, and remind everybody, if you're voting for these Republicans in New York, you are voting for someone who supports Donald Trump, and you're anti-woman, you're anti-abortion, and basically you're anti-American, because you have just trashed American values and what our country is all about over and over and over.
Okay. Let's just take that for a moment. Listen. There's a lot of Republicans. There's tight races in the House there. There's a handful of these very tight races. That could be the outcome of who runs the House of Representatives. So the fact that the Democrats nationally are using state officials like Kathy Hochul to go at the governor, to go after congressional races, because those individuals might also support their party's nominee for president of the United States, who they will have to work with if he's elected and they are elected to the House of Representatives. But this idea that you're garbage and that you're anti-American, I hope it just spurns you to action. And remember, we have aclj.org/election hotline. We've been assisting people. We'll walk you through some of those when we get back from the break. But if you need help tomorrow and you feel like you need assistance, we've got attorneys monitoring it all throughout the voting time. It's aclj.org/election hotline. We'll be right back. yourself, too, like, what can you do now? Well, you know, depending on what state you're in, you may still be able to early vote today. So I would encourage you to do it, and here's why. It will open you up to assist others to get them out to the polls tomorrow. Because, listen, I think at this point now, stop looking at polls. Okay? Don't worry about the numbers. We know that a big early vote came in. We know that either Donald Trump, we know that there are enough votes remaining out there, Republican votes on Election Day, for Donald Trump to win. We also know that is the same for Harris. So it is who is better at getting out the vote in these next 24 hours. That includes states that still have got early voting going today. That includes, of course, Election Day. So for those of you who can still make a plan today and go vote, and then open up time tomorrow so that you can, again, take some people to the polls, or if you've got to watch somebody's kids to help them out, anything possible, because this is the message that has to be loud and clear. The lines might be long tomorrow, but we're not asking people to do this even every year. This is once every 4 years. That, you know, midterm elections, we don't have the kind of numbers and lines. But every 4 years, it's worth it for your country if you got to sit there for hours on end, regardless of the weather. Think about the consequences of this election and who will be in the White House and who will lead the House and who will lead the Senate. I mean, all very important, which is also key that I don't care if you're in a dark blue state right now or a deep red state, because we've got to have those wins at the House and the Senate level, at the state level, local levels as well. We've overlooked those elections for far too long while George Soros was pouring millions, billions of dollars into them. And it's how we've got these DAs all around the country in places that are even surprising to people. That, hey, this, how did we get such a liberal DA? Ah, we didn't actually get involved in that or educate ourselves. So you've got time to do it. You've got time to get out the vote, and campaigns can use you as well. So if you don't know how to use time and you've got free time tomorrow, if you're in a battleground state, pick up the phone, call the local county GOP or the state GOP office and just ask, what should I do? If you're Democrat, you could do the same thing. What I'm encouraging people to do, though, is realize that we have an opportunity to win, but the votes are not in. So don't believe any of the hype. Don't believe all the left kind of throwing. Yes, they are acting like, you know, the ship is sinking. But they also hope that you see that part of that's a game for you to think, oh, they wouldn't be so upset if they didn't think Donald Trump was about to win. But get this, they're a lot better at finding voters. And some of that's just numbers and registrations in states. So can we win tomorrow? Yes. Will we know tomorrow? They're making it very difficult for us to be able to say to you that you'll even really know when you wake up Wednesday morning. I hope that when we wake up Wednesday morning, we know. I would hope that it was just, you know, maybe 2-3 in the morning even. It wasn't, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that way based off how states handled that last time. They didn't keep people necessarily counting through the night, Logan. So they'd send people home.
Yeah.
They'd have those weird cameras on.
A lot of
states. And then, you know, they'd bring them back at 7 or 8 a.m. and it would be, again, another day. And that just is not good for the country.
Yeah, to see what the actual states are. But I know some of them have already said that at around 1 a.m. they'll be sending their poll workers home, not have them work through the night because a lot of these people.
Why don't they have two shifts? Like, instead of those people, why don't they have like a night shift?
It's just part of
it's bizarre.
Yeah, I think that, honestly, I think now they have an understanding that likely we will not know tomorrow night. And it used to be the case where, I mean,
okay
exactly. It's okay. It wasn't before. Before, you would stay up all night and likely you would find out into the evening. And that would be up until, you know, other than Bush and Gore. And they did call it eventually, even if it went into the courts and all of that. And then you had the first Trump. It was over that night, late into the night. Second time around, obviously, we had the chaos that ensued in 2020. Now, I think there is, as you said, understanding of maybe, hey, give people rest, let them count the votes, let them spend the time to do it correctly, not running on fumes. But it is a bit disappointing, especially in more of the digital age, that we're not able to have these results faster. Now, I could be wrong. Tomorrow night, we may, you know, get to 1 a.m. or so, and you know, it has been a landslide one way or the other, with the polls right now showing essentially no one's willing to take the risk to say who is going to win. It is probably going to be one of the closer elections, maybe not electoral college-wise, but nationally in our lifetime.
Yeah, and I think when you actually get to those key states that determine it, again, it's not how much you end up winning the electoral college by, and obviously that's an important number, and it looks good, but it's how, you know, if these states are thousands of votes determining, they even get more nervous because some of those trigger automatic recounts and things like that.
It has to be definitive.
So there has to be these kind of definitive numbers. And listen, you're going to get a handful of those right when the polls close. They're going to call a lot of states, especially within like an hour. They're going to call plenty. I don't know where by midnight Eastern time that's going to stand for either candidate, because you'll have some big ones still out there, but you might have some big ones that have come in for and on one side and against another side. I think what you have to caution people is that, remember, because there were more early votes coming in with Republicans, that and again, we don't know if that was equal or, you know, about equal, somewhere close, but it seems like that, is that if they start putting the votes from Election Day first, okay, that should help Republicans. But remember, then there's huge chunks of early voting coming in for Democrats. So you watch those numbers very carefully. And I think that's why, until we know what percent of the vote, the full vote, has been counted, you can't assume anything when you go to sleep. It's not to say you go to sleep unhappy. It's just, I don't think you should go to sleep thinking, oh yeah, we got this one in the bag, if this hasn't been called. And I would love it to be.
Well, in 2020, I feel like a lot of the networks got egg on their face. A lot of them said, because the traditional numbers were leaning towards Donald Trump.
In big ways.
So it almost was, there was almost an answer there very early in the evening that he had won re-election. And then obviously everything upended overnight.
Which caused
chaos. The chaos. So I think you're going to have a much more cautious newsroom. Sure. Do I think states like Tennessee will be called pretty quickly? Yeah, I think so. And I'll have to have that discussion with my kids of why there's 1% of the vote in and they're already able to call it. But I do think all the swing states, it's going to be at earliest, very, very early into the next day. Yeah. And that would be like the best case scenario. I think
if we could be on the air Wednesday and tell you who won,
it would be shocking.
I think it would be shocking.
Yeah.
I would like to be there. I would hope that we would even know before that, but even if it was happening while we were on air. So it should be an interesting week of the broadcast. Just stay tuned. And I do want to let you know, because people have been, you know, asking, they've been supporting us, and thank you for your donations, because we said, you know, those donations right now at aclj.org, and again, for election integrity, double the impact of your donation because of the work that we do pre-election day, which we're still doing right now, on election day, which can get very busy very quickly as people are calling in and saying, you know, I did this provisional, I did this, I showed up, what should I do next? And we've got attorneys monitoring it. And of course, we need resources for after election day. If, you know, something goes wrong, if ballots are being counted that we believe, or in the past we've been successful saying, you shouldn't be counting those ballots, and here's why, and with the cases that we have won before. So you want to have resources, and we did have resources, you know, leading up now until Election Day, plenty of resources for Election Day, and then based off last year, last election cycle, which has been like one long year of politics, is preparing for, again, a time when it might get uncertain again and tough. And so we want to have all those resources available at the ACLJ so we get our attorneys going. And if they need to file away, they're able to file away. We've assisted a lot of people. Here's the kind of examples of what we've done. In Pennsylvania, for instance, recently someone had requested two mail-in ballots. And so instead, it never showed up. We got him in. He cast his vote in person. This was an interesting one in California. In California, a woman went to vote, but she was told she'd already voted because she submitted a provisional ballot. So we walked her through the process of reviewing and tracking her provisional ballot and confirmed that the poll worker who told her that she voted was mistaken, and that the only vote in the system for her is the one that she herself submitted, and we confirmed with her that her vote was properly received and counted. So again, something in the system had showed that she had already sent one in. She had not. So we made sure that provisional vote was moved to a regular vote and turned into the process. So again, that's real work being done there, multi-steps. I'm glad people are contacting us so that they are confident their vote will be counted. We've had a lot of issues with these mail-in ballots that people did not receive. And so they requested one because, again, sometimes health issues, sometimes travel issues, but they were still saying, you know, if I didn't get this, I'll go vote early or I'll go vote on election day. It's important to me. I'll change my plans if I have to. So because of that, we've walked them through how to do that, how to tell the poll workers if it shows up that they requested a provisional, a mail-in ballot. You say, I never received it. I have not turned one in. And they will at least allow you to do a provisional ballot. And if you're correct and you didn't send one in, that vote will be counted as normal. And there's more. We've done this in New York as well. Someone who dropped off their mail-in ballot and never got confirmation of the ballot being processed. And so now, again, we've explained to her how to track it, that New York doesn't start actually letting you know until the day of election, so she can check tomorrow on their system to make sure it went through. And if not, she can go on election day and vote. We are assisting people to make sure they are confident, and we get through the confusing parts for you so that you don't end up there 3 or 4 times, but maybe have to go back once. And I love the fact that people are that excited about voting. So support our work. Any donation today, you double the impact of that donation at aclj.org. So a $25 donation, a $50 donation, it all is important. Donate today. We'll be right back. Right, welcome back to Secul. We are taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. I want to get to this and we'll get to some of your calls too, because President Obama has been issuing some pretty tough talk, which is unusual because he wasn't very engaged in this election cycle at all when Joe Biden was the nominee, and then slowly got engaged in it more with Harris, obviously being more vocal at the convention and with Michelle Obama speaking at the convention, and then also being out on the campaign trail when they realized that things weren't looking so good. And he's been, he specifically talked to, which I thought was, pretty unique. Talking to black male voters and saying that they are somehow sexist and that's their issue, is they don't want to vote for a woman. And then, you get this polling out there. It's like, absolutely, it has nothing to do with that for people. It's literally just, one, stop thinking of us all as just one group of people. But, if you're a small business owner, you're looking at the policies. Have these policies been good for me under Joe Biden? Or has it been tough on me and my employees and my business? Has it been tough to expand? Things like that. And of course, the pocketbook issues. So now he's taken it to another level and trying to group people together. So now it's all Muslims and Jews, or Arabs and Jews should not vote for. Both can't vote for Donald Trump. I mean, that's an interesting way to say, like he's not too pro-Israel, and he's not too pro-Muslim world. So neither one of you should be voting for him if you're a Jew or if you're Arab.
Yeah, I want to clarify something real quick for those watching online. Thousands of you are watching. I encourage you to hit that subscribe button. Some people have questioned whether we're live right now, And that is because in the commercial break, you saw a clip from an older show which said the election is in a week. Obviously, that is not the case. People are going, why are you saying the election is in a week? Obviously, the election is tomorrow. So I just wanted to clarify that for those watching right now to know, no, you just saw a clip from a previous show.
The previous shows, and we have, of course, doing the election countdown this entire month.
Yep, absolutely. So again, we want you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ. .org. You can do that right now. ACLJ.org/protect the vote.
Yep. Let's check it out, though, what Barack Obama had to say in his own words.
Maybe you're Muslim American or Jewish American, and you are heartbroken and furious about the ongoing bloodshed in the Middle East and worried about the rise of anti-Semitism. Why would you place your faith in somebody who instituted a so-called Muslim ban? Who sat down for pleasantries with Holocaust deniers? Who said that there were very fine people on both sides of a white supremacist rally?
So there you go. I mean, first of all, no one has done more for the Jewish people or the state of Israel than President Trump. And he did it in 4 years. And again, he did it amongst doing a lot of other things, but he knew that Congress and law had authorized him and any president to finally recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. He did that. Former presidents, Republican and Democrat, could have, but they were too nervous because the State Department would tell them, oh, well, you're going to cause war. And in fact, so what did he do after that? He put together the Abraham Accords with one of our colleagues, Mike Pompeo, and people like Rick Grenell, which was an unbelievable move to show the world that the issue, this Palestinian issue, was not seen as like a bar to doing for these Gulf states, predominantly Sunni Gulf states, to doing business with Israel or traveling to Israel, tourism. religious tourism to Israel. So they flipped the entire issue up on the head, even the Golan Heights being recognized by the United States as part of Israel, standing with Israel at the UN at every chance we could under the Trump administration. So again, Obama can say that, but I think what they're even more ticked off about is that President Trump, and I know Rick Grenell's joining us tomorrow, and he's been doing a lot of these events. I've seen him in Dearborn. There's a lot of American, Arab, and Muslim support for President Trump, and because of the business leaders in those communities. It's like somehow they try to like label it like, well, they're not all going to be people, Palestinian terrorists, you know, and there's not, you know, most of our American Muslim community does not support those kind of activities. And you work with them every single day and you would never hear this kind of nastiness. It's a fact. It's mostly a bunch of white kids at these college campuses putting on scarves.
I think a lot of people are just upset with the blatant lies. Like you had from Barack Obama, you're kind of repeating that very fine people on both sides argument. And we see that now even with the Liz Cheney stuff that's happened over the last week. It's like, no, if you actually are objective and actually hear what he said, is it the most artful way to say it? Maybe not, but that is certainly not what he said. He was talking about, you know, for that situation, was talking about people going into senseless wars. Now, this one, even Snopes, you know, this was from back in 2017. Even Snopes has said this was not accurate. This did not happen. They claim it as false, and they are pretty left-leaning, even right, with their own decision-making. So I think we need to remind people that when they hear those lies, that's what they are. Well, because even he knows it's a lie.
Yeah, because Donald Trump says in the statement, and I'm not talking about the white nationalists or neo-Nazis that were there. I mean, listen, here it is. Because if you hear this from people, or like you heard from President Obama, in the next 24 hours, as people are deciding who to vote and you're someone they go to, or you hear it and you want to fight back and push back with the truth, here's the truth from his own mouth, President Trump.
And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay?
Right. And what he was referring to there, Will, was that whole monuments taking down movement, that there were, that everyone who questioned whether or not we should be taking down all these monuments and how far will it go? Like, is it going to go to George Washington because they had slaves? Is it going to go to all of Washington, D.C.? And we were getting to those questions. I mean,
yeah, it was a real discussion.
Having those discussions did not mean that you were part of those torch-bearing neo-Nazis.
Right.
And that's, in his full statement, he's clear, not talking about neo-Nazis or white nationalists. They should be condemned. But yet, they take the first part out and they just run with it.
Well, because if you've seen the way that the left approaches everything right now, especially over the last 2 weeks, if the Trump supporters are garbage comment, the governor of New York saying that you're anti-American if you're voting for Republicans, they can only see one-dimensionally. So they lump everyone together in the group. What President Trump was saying there is that there were people at the rally that were neo-Nazis, white supremacist, and I condemn them totally. But I'm also not going to make these blanket statements that the left is so comfortable doing of saying that everyone who went there, I'm going to pick their motive and call them all white nationalists and neo-Nazis. And I think that is a very clear difference between where the right is we understand people having different opinions or different motives for a statement. And there are people that are bad on that side of that. And he calls that out. The left, though, if you vote Republican right now, you're anti-American. If you're a Trump supporter, you're garbage. That's what we've been told over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and this Muslim ban, it was five countries that were mostly failed states that were predominantly Muslim and also countries known to have problems with terrorism that could not verify who the people were that were leaving their countries. It was never about a Muslim ban. It was about a failed state ban. In countries that had problems with terrorism, like Yemen and others, whose passports you could not consider good anymore. And because they did not have backgrounds on their own people, you couldn't just accept that as, okay, this person should be allowed into the U.S. without any further work. That's what that was. And it was temporary in place. so that we could put systems in place where we had to do the background checks. Support the work of the ACLJ, get the facts, know how to fight back. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We want to take some of your calls, too, as well, in this first half hour and then in the second half hour as well of the broadcast. If you want to be on the air, it's 1-800-684-3110. Harris also getting pushback because she wouldn't even comment on this California resolution, saying, I can't comment on it because it's elections coming up. I don't want to sway people. You're running for president of the United States. You're the vice president of the United States currently, and you can't talk about issues because people are going to be voting on it. There's no law barring politicians from encouraging people to vote yes or no on certain issues. I mean, on certain ballot initiatives as well. But it's just another way for her to try and distract and say nothing, which her team is hoping that this is going to somehow work. And I will tell you this, if you're a Trump supporter and you think this election's over and that you've won, you haven't, because Election Day hasn't even occurred yet. Okay, so there's enough votes left out there for both Trump and Harris to win. So it's all about who's got the right energy going into Election Day tomorrow and whose people will wait in the lines, whose people will, even if the weather's bad, if it's cold or it's hot, depending on where you are, and if it means you're going to be missing something that you had said you could make, and maybe you got kids there and they're a little bit crying or they're a little bit upset, which is why if you've already voted and you know you have family members in that situation, maybe offer to watch the kids for a couple hours and let them go vote. Take that pressure away. That's how important I think tomorrow is. And you can really assist if you've already taken care of your vote by early voting. If you still have a chance to do that in your state today, I'd do it so you can help tomorrow. Get out the vote, because that's what it's come down to now. Nothing is showing that anyone has a lead that can't be erased by Election Day voting. All right. That is where we're at right now.
Let's go take some calls. A lot of you have been waiting for a long time. We appreciate it. Justin's calling in California online too. Justin, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I feel like abortion will be a huge factor in this election and may actually dictate the outcome. And my friends who are women tell me it's the only reason they are voting for Kamala. So I'm pro-life, but as conservatives, is our stance on abortion worth potentially losing this election?
Well, I mean, listen, the election is a day away. So that's the messaging that's out there. I don't think it's going to be able to shift. Now, President Trump has been pretty reasonable. He's said he's going to go to Washington and kind of work on these issues. He doesn't think it needs to be a federal issue, but again, he has not taken some stance and said, "Oh, you need some extreme, 6-week ban." I know these amendments are happening all over the country. We at the ACLJ, we advocated for more time to educate people. We thought, okay, we overturned Roe versus Wade. Now we need to go into the states and educate people. And that could take years before you start voting on amending your constitution. But the other side said, let's start putting those votes out there. Let's start amending the constitution now and saying we're going to at least have the standards of Roe, which mean that your state courts are now going to have to figure out what the court meant back in Roe and how that apply at a state level if those pass. But let me just, I think it's this. You were also in California. So I think, in people that are in deep blue states, you might be in a part of California that is redder still, I'm not sure, but you're going to hear not a lot of support for your positions. And I think that's an easy one for people you're talking to say, I don't really like Harris, but that gives me a reason to vote for, and I'm not instead of saying I'm just not a Trump person.
Yeah, and if you move that to a different state, I was over the weekend, we were about to talk to Jeff Balaban, head of ACLJ Jerusalem, and I went to go see our friend John Adrasik, Five for Fighting, perform, and he did a whole pitch about Israel and the hostages, and obviously the crowd here in Tennessee, very receptive, very excited that he was standing up, naming the hostages' names, and then having a lot of support for the troops as part of the Gary Sinise Foundation. So again, I think it is kind of geographical, whether those are the ones that at play. Obviously, we know life has been a major target.
And we'll see if it's a big enough of a motivating factor in a presidential election. Certainly, the Democrats want it to be. And so they're pushing that message. That if that's the only reason you vote, vote for that. Because, and if you don't like Harris on anything, at least know she's pro-abortion. And these guys want to, is Trump and J.D. Vance, which is not true, by the way. If you actually look at what they've said, they actually have upset some of the pro-life groups over this campaign. At this point, though, again, what you're trying to do is convince people who just aren't sure if they want to go wait in line. It's going to be tough to convince a Harris supporter in the next 10 hours. But look for people who you know would vote the way you believe and get them there. Help get them to vote. All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're talking about, again, all the things you're seeing and hearing. And again, depending on what state you live in, depending on what community you're part of, and even like what area of a state you live in, depending on if you're in a battleground state, you'll be getting some very different ads and very different talking points from candidates and campaigns about, you know, who's a better candidate for Israel and who's a better candidate for Muslims and for Arabs. And I want to bring in Jeff Balaban to this discussion, who, of course, oversees and directs our office at ACLJ Jerusalem. Because, Jeff, I mean, it's unique because they're able to do this kind of micro campaigning and targeting now. But still, when you do that, you don't usually want to be kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth. And yet that's exactly what the Harris campaign has decided to do.
Yeah, Jordan, there's two things happening here. The first is, as you say, they're trying to talk out of both sides of their mouth to two different constituencies that they feel they need in important swing states. The other is, though, they're trying to maintain a longtime Democratic talking point, which is simply false, which is you can be pro-Palestinian two states or a pro-Palestinian state and also be pro-Israel. Those two positions, if no one understood it until this year, should have been made very clear that the Palestinians, and even, by the way, Bill Clinton recently was talking about this, they have never accepted any offers for coexistence with Israel. Never, no matter how gracious they were, no matter how vast they were, no matter how risky they were for Israel, because Palestinian, it's not an ethnicity, it's not a nationality, it's an ideology created in the middle of the last century after the Holocaust failed to wipe out the Jews. This is another ideology to wipe out Jews by claiming, oh, the Jews don't belong in the land of Israel. There's some indigenous people here called Palestinians. Again, they never existed. And so that's why you see, people always wonder, why won't they take a two-state solution? Because they exist, as they say, from the river to the sea, to completely wipe out Israel and the Jewish people. And that is the message that doesn't really jive. When Harris is saying we support them having their own state, yeah, well, they hear that as that means the eradication of the state of Israel. And the thing is, Israelis, having sacrificed for this over and over, are no longer willing to tolerate it.
Well, do we have the different, like a couple of examples that Harris is, the same campaign is running, but in different areas of the country that we could show people?
Yeah, so we can first play what she's running in Michigan, and this has a little bit of commentary from Aaron Burnett, because CNN actually exposed this with the K-File, showing the contrast of what Kamala Harris is running. Let's go ahead and play bite number three with this Michigan portion.
Tonight, mixed messages. A K-File investigation this hour finds Kamala Harris is targeting crucial battleground voters with vastly different messages on Gaza and Israel. This ad is running in Michigan, which has the largest Arab population in America.
What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent.
Okay, so we've got that.
So we've got that, and then they show the contrasting ad, which is running in Pennsylvania, which is more friendly to voters that would be more inclined to support Israel.
Jewish voters, more pro-Israel voters, certainly not as big of a population like the Arab population in Michigan, which, by the way, turning things on its head a bit, many of those leaders have come out and supported Donald Trump because they're sick of being put in a box that if you're an Arab or a Muslim and you live in those areas that you must support, you know, these horrible acts by Hamas, and somehow you believe that everything Israel does is evil and you want it wiped out because some of the loudest voices take that stance. But let's play the one from Pennsylvania.
This is bite four.
All right. Well, it's a very different story for an ad in Pennsylvania targeting Jewish voters.
Let me be clear. I will always stand up for Israel's right to defend itself. And I will always ensure Israel has the ability to defend itself, because the people of Israel must never again face the horror that a terrorist organization called Hamas caused on October 7.
So, okay. I mean, you hear that, Jeff, and you think, okay, this is a very supportive person of Israel, and it's so tough talking. But then you realize that's not really, that's, she's just putting that out, snippet, for one group of people. And the other group of people, she's saying, you know what? I'm watching what Israel's doing. We're not going to allow them just to, you know, take out Hamas, which has been the goal of Israel.
And the difference, Jordan, is that actually Israel's cause is righteous, and Israel's fighting a war, which is shocking everybody at how low the non-combatant casualty rate is. But Harris and her surrogates, and even Biden when he was still making public appearances, really, they kept on pointing at Israel and claiming that Israel is creating undue suffering in Gaza. That's not true. If there's suffering in Gaza, it is entirely 100% the fault of a society that has built itself atop a terrorist infrastructure that it uses terrorists to be their own government, and that it's still holding Israeli hostages and still trying to kill Israel and still launching rockets. So Israel's fighting a defensive war, but Harris consistently has taken the other point of view, arguing that Israel is being too harsh, threatening Israel constantly. They are not supporting Israel's right to exist. They're supporting their right to get voted in. And then the gloves are off when it comes to Israel. And they're being very clear that they insist on creating a Palestinian state, which the Knesset has voted on 99 out of 120. And the others are mostly Arab. About half of them are Arab members of Knesset. And those within the mixed Arab parties. That's right. That's the graphic. All right. This is a vote repudiating Biden's Harris's statements about creating a Palestinian state, which is still their position.
Yeah.
This is a vote against Israel.
Yeah. And Jeff, one thing I think for our ACLJ supporters, you'll be talking about having the ability to assist any election needs leading up to election. I've went through some of those examples earlier. Of course, Election Day, we've got set up to this hotline for folks. They can utilize it at aclj.org/election hotline. And then of everything that happens after the election, too, because of what we saw 4 years ago. And we don't want that, but we have to always be prepared for challenges and things like that. Another issue, though, we always prepare for is the dangerous times you can be in when you've got, you know, Joe Biden still as president, and it could be Harris who's coming in, it could be Trump who's coming in. And we saw how Obama used that time period to stab Israel in the back at the UN. So you can't just ignore what Joe Biden and that administration might try and do after you know, we get the election results by hopefully Wednesday. And if you're happy about that, say, well, okay, we're going to have a great January, I'm going to shut everything off. That's sometimes the most dangerous time for the country and our allies.
That's right. When they don't have to worry about those Jewish voters in Pennsylvania or wherever, the gloves are off. And while they stabbed Israel in the back last time, and Joe Biden was very directly involved in this, according to reports, he's the one, not Obama. Obama was behind it, but he actually got Ukraine to sign on to this to really stab Israel in the back at the UN. And there's an expectation now they're just going to shoot it in the face. And that means exactly what that vote was in Knesset, which is they will potentially push for the unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state, which literally is the worst existential threat to the state of Israel.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, as always, we appreciate you joining us. Appreciate your insight. And I think what Jeff said is key too. So we have we have to remember this, and we of course will. Obviously, we are prepared to assist with our election hotline if things become difficult, if votes that appear to be counted, if we think we can do anything to be involved. You know, the ACLJ will be, and you've seen our record before in the past. And then second, We were the ones that said for the entire time, always watch these months of transition. And even when the country was unsure about who the next president would be, the outgoing 8-year, you know, president, who's not going to be up for re-election again, will start making moves that they would have never made while there were still races out and elections to be had. And that we have to be ready with those resources. I also add to that, that we could be, and we'll talk about it when we get back from this break, in a very unique time in our country if Donald Trump does win. Now, I want to talk about all of those things on Thursday, and I'll be talking about it as if Donald Trump won, you know? But let's get to that point. I think that all of those discussions previously to that, right now what we have to focus on is showing you that dichotomy, showing you how they're trying to play both sides, realizing the dangers ahead, and being ready to fight those battles. And that's what we do at the ACLJ. And Logan, that's right now. I mean, that's why we've got this, our election hotline and our Protect the Vote matching challenge moving up, where people can double the impact of their donation. It's a key time because of all those battles ahead. We've got to have the resources to fight.
That's right. And you may be distracted right now. Obviously, we have a big week. This is going to be a huge week
right now. Yeah.
But if you can support the work of the ACLJ, we continue on. Regardless of who wins, we have to be there for you. We have to be your voice around the world. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, make that donation today. As Jordan said, all donations are doubled right now. So all you need to do, help our, get our legal team ready and our media team ready. Have your gift doubled today. Join the fight at ACLJ.org. Or if you need to specifically need election help, go to ACLJ.org/protect the vote. Make sure we are ready and able to be there. Phone lines are completely jammed. We're going to try to take as many as possible. And if you become an ACLJ champion, by the way, which is someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis, you also get moved to the front of the line of calls. So I'm looking at a call right now. I'm sure we're going to take one of those coming up from an ACLJ champion. Again, I encourage you to support the work. As Jordan said, and as we played those clips, I was at an event this weekend that was very pro-Israel. And that talk that the Harris campaign is running, these two separate ads, was such a big point of discussion. To say they're willing to say anything to get the votes. They're willing to say whatever they need to do to try to win this election and try to appease both sides of this issue when there's one clear, I'd say there's one clear good guy in it. Hey, phone lines, actually two just opened up, so give me a call, 1-800-684-3110.
To Seculo, we are going to get to the phone calls, Logan. People have been holding. I want to get to them as too. And I do want to say, for everybody who's out there right now, if you're listening to this broadcast, just that message to be clear. If you are supporting Donald Trump, the votes are there. We've got to get people out to vote. And that is primarily going to happen, you know, tomorrow, Election Day voting. But if you can go and still early vote, I would encourage it, because you do it in person. It's the same way. And then you, who are probably more active in your community, you're very up to speed on the issues, can then assist others in making sure they can go. And if they've got to wait in line, that they've got the assistance that they need to make sure they can cast their votes. Because I think that is so important and something that the Democrats have always done better than Republicans. Again, if you're a Harris supporter, I mean, this is the same way you can flip it around. Yep. So again, it is, at this point, you kind of have to say, you know what, we got to Election Day. Let's just act like this is it. To kind of restart your head on Election Day, that you're coming from zero, because we don't know how those early votes really are going to break down. We can have guesses. You can try to figure it out. It does look better for Republicans than it has in the past, but better doesn't mean we won, because on Election Day, there's going to be another 50% of the vote coming in. So do what you can, and that's where your focus should be. And then we fight all the other issues, you know, as they come.
All right, let's go ahead and start the phone calls. Let's go to Michelle, who's an ACLJ champion. She gets bumped up to the front of the line. Michelle, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. I do want to remind everyone to vote and pray. I have a two-part question. So what are the Republicans doing to ensure that poll watchers are allowed to observe, even if it is throughout the night? And what are they prepared to do if they see shenanigans going on?
Sure. Well, I mean, so you're going to see this at different levels depending on where you are in the country. So obviously, the Republican Party nationally would like to have poll watchers at every voting location in the country. But that's more volunteers than they can put together on their own. So sometimes you have to rely on state parties. In battleground states, so I'd say there's probably about 10 or so on that list. The campaign has done a lot of work. The RNC's done a lot of work for the last 4 years to recruit those poll watchers, make sure that people have, they've scheduled times. If you have to register, that you register. So they've done all the steps. Some places it's easier, some places it's harder. But that's what your field staff should be doing. Now, if you're living in California right now, you might not feel that, Michelle, the same. Depending on if there's a congressional race where you live that is tight, you might see that the poll watchers. But if not, where you're going to usually do that is you're going to focus in, because you've got to get people to sign up for shifts. Right. I mean, it's tougher. You know, this starts at, you know, 7 a.m. and usually goes to around 7 p.m. But then, as you said, like the counting continues sometimes to at least 1 a.m. Some try to go through the night, and that poll watchers are available. I've already seen the lawsuits being filed by the RNC. So they are. I will say this. Is it ever perfect? No, because you're relying on volunteers to be able to cover this much time. But I do believe that this Republican Party, which was a little bit different than the early iterations under President Trump, and even he himself realized that his campaign and the party had to spend resources on that the on-the-ground real grassroots, and I know that that exists. We don't all live in states where we're seeing that, because I live in a very red state. Michelle, you live in a very blue state. But in places that are, again, the swing states, those people are in place. And I don't think, again, these shenanigans you're talking about, there's going to be, the attorneys are ready to go. And I don't think that was the case 4 years ago. Actually, I know that wasn't the case 4 years ago. It wasn't organized at the level it needed to be.
Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Jeff's calling in Massachusetts. Jeff, you've been on for almost an hour, so we appreciate it. Watching on YouTube. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Now, as far as Harris getting in is concerned, I believe Harris will be our next president, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the college students. The college students, especially the college women, love their abortions. A lot of them are left-leaning, and they're very organized, the college students. Number two, the inner cities. The inner cities are heavily Democratic, minority-based, and a lot of inner cities will vote for Harris for the reason of getting their relatives in if they come from a developing country, and the liberal welfare paychecks and the largest that they'll come in under Harris administration.
I mean, usually that would be the case, right? So Harris would count on the inner cities, urban areas, to provide a big chunk of votes that she wouldn't even have to go out and campaign for. But here's the difference this year, Jeff. Barack Obama is out there calling out black men, saying, we know you're not voting for, and trying to shame them into voting for Harris. So I don't think, and listen, Donald Trump has showed this in every single cycle, even in 2020. He kept doing better and better amongst these groups. Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, people who had immigrated but were now citizens. So yes, are there some issues that are going to be more difficult with the really organized Democrat left in the inner city? Yes. I don't think they're as strong as they have been in the past, and that's also because Harris has not been as strong of a candidate. Neither was Biden, to be honest. So, they went from one who looked like he didn't know what was going on to another who won't tell you what she believes.
And Jordan, it also goes to show the Arab communities in Michigan. You saw there were Somali leaders in Minnesota that came out in support of President Trump. These are the groups that the Democrats would normally play identity politics with to try to get them to vote for them. But it's backfiring, finally, it appears. And we'll see how it turns out. Let's try to get to one more call today. Let's go to Tim from California on line 3. Tim, you're on Seculo.
Good morning. Moved to California 25 years ago. It was a great place. You recall the Reagan era and everything. And when I moved here, a bumper sticker welcomed me by saying, live and let live. Now that motto has changed to live as I tell you how to. The entire state is controlled by Democrats. Every state office, the assembly. And anyway, the point being that I'm pleading with people, please don't turn America into a socialist republic like the failed experiment here in California. We pay $2 a gallon more for gasoline than you do wherever you are in the country. Just re-registered my 15-year-old vehicle with over 100,000 miles, charged me $400. As a poor person, former high school teacher, live on Social Security entirely, it's hard to get by, and I am moving out within the next 6 months. So God bless y'all for what you do.
Thank you, Tim. And listen, I mean, I think you hear it right there. These are people that are dealing. We've seen that flow from California. And again, the people continue to elect. And so you have to decide as is someone there, do I have to be here? You know, could I have a better life somewhere else? And we've seen people be making those decisions over and over the last 8 years. And listen, the voters aren't changing. You know, they're still putting in place those kind of leaders over and over and over again. Here's the thing. We have 1 minute left right now. If you can still early vote and you haven't, try to do that today, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to be like for yourself, whatever you might work, family. So also because I think that most of you who I'm talking to or who are watching are people that can assist in other ways. In battleground states, as poll watchers, as making sure that other friends and family can get to the polls on election day, that you could be the reason why. You could be that, you know, it's your vote. Can you get 10 more? So take advantage of that. If not, go vote early tomorrow. And if you've got time during the day, Assist people however you can. Be ready with the facts. And if you need assistance and you've got a potential legal issue with your voting, we'll be monitoring it 24/7. Go to aclj.org/election hotline to support that work. Donate today, because we'll be fighting all those issues likely after Election Day. Donate today at aclj.org and double your impact today.